Grace and peace to you from God, who was and who is to come. So this month, we are studying the book of Revelation. Now, if you aren't too sure what to make of this book of the Bible, you are in good company. In his first German translation of the Bible, Martin Luther described Revelation as neither apostolic nor prophetic, saying further that he could in no way detect that the Holy Spirit produced it. Christ is neither taught nor known in it. Ouch. But Luther persevered in his studies, and by 1530, he had changed his tune a bit. For one thing, he was getting into what so many people love to do with Revelation, of looking at the beast and saying, oh, that's the Pope. So, you know, he kind of enjoyed that. But then he wrote about the book, if only the word of the gospel remains pure among us, and we love and cherish it, we shall not doubt that Christ is with us even when things are at their worst. As we see here in this book of Revelation, that through and beyond all plagues, beast, and evil angels, Christ is nonetheless with his saints and wins the final victory. Amen. My fascination with the book of Revelation began some years ago when I was at a continuing education conference at Luther Seminary in St. Paul. It was a great week when each Bible professor came in to present a lecture on his or her current work or interest, which, you know, we got them all like at their most like powered up and on fire talking about their current study and their best thing. It was an amazing week. And Professor Craig Kester spoke about his work on Revelation. I was spellbound. Then I discovered that the Narrative Lectionary resource has a resource for the series on the book of Revelation, which is also written by Craig Kester. And so this is the month that we are going to do Revelation, and I hope you'll all find it as meaningful and fun as I have. And I'm just going to put a plug in here. If you'd like to go a little deeper and you're free on Thursday morning, our Thursday morning Bible studies the next 3 weeks will also be reading Revelation in preparation for each Sunday. So if you get into it, come join us on Thursday at 10 o'clock. Revelation is indeed a fascinating and sometimes intimidating book. It's filled with strange and often threatening visions. It's also filled with references to and echoes of the Old Testament. Never actually quotes the Old Testament, but so much of its imagery and language comes from the Old Testament. In Revelation, we find beautiful images and language which have found their way into our worship, our liturgy, and our hymns. And so as we read together this month, I invite you to listen to those familiar echoes, either the echoes of the Hebrew scripture or the echoes of, hey, we sing that in church. I know that. So now let's start at the beginning. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from God, who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. The revelation of John is first a letter. John, who has been exiled to the island of Patmos because of his Christian faith, is writing to a group of Asian churches with whom he is acquainted. These are people he's known, worshiped with, and he's writing to them from exile. Now, we've studied the letters of Paul, and we know that letters have a specific audience. They have a meaning that particularly addresses the situation in the church to whom the letter is written, but that they also have a meaning for the whole church as well. And so it is with John's words in this message. We find ourselves able to listen in on his message to the churches in Asia, and we hear words that have meaning for us as well. John goes on to say that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when he had a vision and a voice like a trumpet telling him to write in the book what you see. With these words, John is telling us that he understands himself to be a prophet in the line of Old Testament prophets. Like Isaiah and Jeremiah and other Old Testament prophets, and also like the Apostle Paul, John comes face to face with God and is overwhelmed. He falls flat on his face. Now, popular culture has reduced the idea of prophecy to simply telling the future, right? It's the story of so many popular movies out there. There's a prophecy written and we see the chosen one live into the prophecy. But biblical prophecy is so much more than that. Prophets are people called by God to speak to God's people, to call them into faithful relationship with God. Prophecy contains warnings, which sometimes mean predictions of what will happen when God's people are unfaithful. Prophecy also contains promise of what God will do for God's people in the future. But the focus of prophecy is not prediction of future events, but bringing people back into right relationship with God. And that's what John is about here with these visions, with this book, is encouraging these churches of Asia back into right relationship with God. Here is John's first vision and prophetic call. I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. Listen to him try to put words to this experience beyond words, this vision that he has. It reminds me not there of the Old Testament, but of the stories of the Transfiguration, where Jesus becomes so shining and white, the disciples fall down in front of him. And that's John's response too. It's overwhelming. He falls down. John's first vision is of Jesus. There are seven shining lamps, and John tells us these are the seven churches in Asia. I think that's kind of a good start. The churches called to be light to the world are represented as lamps. I like that. But even better, the first vision of Revelation places Jesus among the lamps, right in the midst of the churches. We know the story. Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And where is he now? Right here, right with the churches who follow him. Now, here is where I learned something new about the book of Revelation. I have long thought from seminary, and I've told many of you, that Revelation is an apocalyptic book written to a Christian community being persecuted by Rome. One interpretation of Revelation has long been that, like the Old Testament book of Daniel and other apocalyptic literature, Revelation was written in code for believers to encourage them to keep the faith during time of persecution. But in the Working Preacher podcast this week, Professor Craig Kester says that more recently, like the last 20 years, scholars have taken another look at Revelation and changed their view a bit. Because John tells us exactly who he is writing to and why. John is writing to the seven churches of Asia. Whoops, I got ahead of myself. There we go, seven churches of Asia. And once he establishes the presence of Christ among those churches, he goes on to address the churches with the prophetic words from Christ. To each church, he opens, from Christ who is something, something. I see something, something. There's this formula for seven times. And it turns out that those churches have a whole range of problems and challenges, but only a few are facing persecution from Rome. Others are struggling with assimilation. It's okay to take part in just a little bit of Roman worship rites, isn't it? I mean, you get a free meal and improve relationships with the neighbors if you just go to a temple sacrifice to the emperor every once in a while. Some of the churches are facing issues of living in community, as we see in so many of Paul's letters. John writes to Ephesus that they have lost their love for one another, and Smyrna has been cast out of the synagogue where their faith began. Others are simply suffering from complacency, from being too rich and happy in leading cities of trade and commerce. My favorite section, you'll hear why, my favorite section in all these words to the churches are John's words to Laodicea. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Not mincing words here, right? This is a prophet. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. This is Jesus standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Become a little too comfortable. And Jesus, through the words of John, wants to call them back to faithfulness and fervor in their faith. To all the churches, John shares the words of Jesus. I see you. I know you. I know your works. I know your challenges. And Jesus says to them, remember me. Keep the faith. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Remember from what you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Remember what you received and heard, what you learned about following. Obey it and repent. John is writing to churches who face a whole range of challenges to living out the good news of Jesus. If John were writing to a bunch of churches who feared being thrown to lions, we may not find much to relate to in this book. But if John is writing to Christians trying to figure out how to be faithful in an empire filled with violence and greed, if John is writing to Christians whose wealth and comfort may be their greatest barrier to faith, if John is writing to people who struggle with how to love one another and love their neighbors in a complex world, well, then Revelation probably has something to say to us. The first vision John shares is a vision of Christ, who says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and last and the living one." This is the first message of the book of Revelation, the starting point for all John's visions, and it is a word we always need to hear. Jesus is present in the churches. Remain focused on Jesus and continue in the faith you have learned. Do not be afraid, because Jesus is right here with you. Thanks be to God who was and is to come. Amen.